Amen. I appreciate that special. Would you please open your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 12? We continue our study through the Gospels, and we're here in Luke chapter 12. We studied verses 35 through 40, that area, last week, and we're going to pick up in verse 41 tonight. You find your place there in Luke 12, verse 41. Would you stand with me if you're able? And tonight, let's pray before we read, if you would please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for those who are faithful to be here tonight, and we do pray your blessings on those who are unable to come. Lord, we pray for those who are unwilling to come, you'll work in their hearts. But Father, now as we approach your word, I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. Convict our hearts of things that need to change in our lives, Lord. Encourage us in our spirits to go from this place revived and ready to serve you in a greater way. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me for the many ways that I fail you. I pray that you bless your word in spite of me and help your church to grow for your glory. Help us to be faithful till the day you come again. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing. We're going to read verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Amen. You please be seated. Who is that faithful and wise steward? I don't know if you remember, but last week we looked at verses 35 through 40 where the Lord admonished his disciples to be faithful and to be ready. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning in verse 35. He said, be like men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And I want you to see when Peter asked the question, Lord, are you talking to us or are you talking to everybody? Because you'll remember that he was speaking directly to his disciples, but there was a great multitude gathered around. They were trampling each other trying to get to Jesus. So no doubt he was directing his speech to his disciples, but everyone could hear. We understand that, right? And sometimes I've been guilty of doing something like that. If we're at a restaurant or a public place and I'm talking to somebody about the gospel, I try to say it loud enough where anybody around can hear, right? Because you never know who's listening. Somebody might be around the corner and might come to Christ. And I'm reminded of a time we were out door to door in Vianne, and somebody came to the door at the apartments, and I was preaching the gospel to them, and somebody came down the stairs and just sat down next to where we were at. And after that person, we gave them the gospel and went through everything with them, had prayer with them. Then I turned to that young man. I said, what about you? Have you ever been born again? He said, yes, I have. I said, well, when was that? He said, just a second ago while you were praying. I mean, you just never know. And so I believe that the Lord is directing these things to his disciples. You need to be ready. You need to be watching. You need to be ready because I'm going to come again. But he can come for everyone who will believe in him. You understand? He's coming again. He's going to come and he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And there's going to be a resurrection for everybody. Those who are saved, the resurrection to life everlasting. Those who are not saved, to eternal damnation. But he's coming to judge everyone. And so Peter asked the question, and I think this is very much that same kind of question you see the disciples ask a lot of times. They're always worried, is this just for us, or is somebody else going to get to have part of this too? And so I want you to get that. There are some commentators who say that the Lord just ignored Peter's question and went on with his teaching, but I don't think he was ignoring the question at all. I think he answered the question very clearly. The question is, are you telling everybody be ready? And for everybody who's ready, you're going to sit down. You're going to have them sit down. You're going to serve them. You're going to bless them. Is that just for us or is that for anybody? And the Lord answers with another parable. He says, well, who is a faithful steward? Who is that faithful steward when the Lord's going to make him a ruler over his house? Well, who is that faithful steward that the Lord's going to give them their portion of meat in due season? Well, he goes on and says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I want to remind you again tonight that Jesus Christ is, in fact, coming again. He gives the parable in Matthew 21, 33 through 40 of the vineyard. And the master leaves his vineyard to those who would keep it, and he goes on a long journey, and he sends messengers, he sends servants back to get his harvest. And you remember, they evil entreat them, and he finally says, I know what I'll do. I'll send my son, and they'll show respect to him, but they kill his son, right? But then he says, what do you think's going to happen to those wicked servants when their master comes? Well, guess what, friends? Jesus is coming again. He gives the parable of the talents you're familiar with in Matthew 25, 14 through 19. He gives that parable of those talents to one. He gives five to another, two to another one. And he's going to come back one day. The master's coming again to give a reckoning. There's going to be a day of reckoning. And so we have here where we just looked at Luke 12, 35 through 40, this parable. Let your loins be girded and your lights be burning. Be watching. Because you want, when your Lord comes, to be found watching. So time and time again, the scriptures tell us our Lord is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Listen, friends, Jesus, he's coming again. And we need to be watching and ready, whether it's in the daytime or in the nighttime, the first watch, the second watch, the third watch. It doesn't matter. We need to be ready because he's coming again. The Lord is coming, and blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. God wants us to be found busy for him when he comes. He wants us to be found busy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, the Word of God says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Listen, Jesus is coming again. He's coming to bring judgment. And God has set us up to be stewards, and he wants us to be found faithful when he comes. So what is that steward? That steward. We understand today that in Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it tells us about Joseph. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now, you're familiar with Joseph in Egypt, right? Anybody familiar with that? The Bible tells us that Pharaoh set Joseph up as the only thing that really Pharaoh was greater than Joseph was the throne. That was it. Joseph had control over the entire country. Listen, Joseph was made a governor. The same thing here. He was made a steward of the entire nation. In other words, what Pharaoh had command over, what Pharaoh had authority over, he gave that authority to Joseph. It wasn't his. It wasn't his country, but he was the one who was in charge of it to manage it for someone else. Everybody with me? Listen, God has called us to be stewards, and a steward must be faithful. Now, we don't, most of us have any concept of this today, but you can imagine that in Bible times, if you had much wealth, it was in property. And maybe you had some silver and gold and some things, but you would have land, and you would have livestock, and you would have manservants, and you would have maidservants, and you would have a lot of business that had to be taken care of. And so if you're the master, then you're going to be busy going here and there and overseeing things all over, and you're not going to need to have a steward in place to manage things when you're absent. Buddy with me? And that steward would make sure that these cattle got fed and make sure these sheep got moved to this pasture, and they would make sure that all of the servants had their portion, make sure everybody got their pay, got their daily provisions every day, and they would be busy about the business in the house and out of the house. And a steward obviously had to be somebody you trusted. Amen. Listen, when you came home from taking care of something somewhere else, if that steward didn't do his job, everything that you own would be falling apart. The livestock would be sick and dying. The livestock would be not fed and taken care of. The servants wouldn't be taken care of. The servants wouldn't be doing their job. And so the steward was someone who had to be very faithful. And friends, God has given a lot into our charge. Amen. You may not think that what you have to do in life is a big deal, but I want you to know that God has made you a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has charged each one of us who have been born again to be busy about the master's business while he's away. But guess what? He's coming back. He's given us a letter that says, I'm coming back. It just doesn't tell us when. So we just need to be found faithful. I think that's pretty smart for any master. If he's leaving somebody in charge, don't tell him when you're coming back. Right? That's why companies today try to have surprise inspections. Right? And listen, it's funny to me because I hear about people all the time at their job. They'll say, well, we've got an inspection coming up. Well, that's not the way to do that. You don't let them know. Listen, you don't tell them ahead of time. You can put together the fake factory then. You guys are familiar with that, right? Does anybody know what a fake house is? Some of you don't like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I preach the truth up here. Listen, when somebody's coming to your house, do you not put together the fake house? Like, you don't like when people just show up because they see the real thing. Right? But when you know somebody's coming, you at least throw all your dirty clothes in somewhere and close the door. Right? You straighten things up. You try to sweep up a little bit, at least make the parts they're going to see look better. Now, you come into the living room, you go into this hall bathroom, but please don't open any other doors. Right? No, I know. Some of you keep a perfect house all the time. Well, listen, Jesus is coming again, and he's not going to tell us the day or the hour, but I want you to notice that the Lord says, of a truth I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. He will make him ruler over all that he hath. What an incredible thing that God is going to set up his servants to rule and reign. He's going to make his slaves. We don't like the word slave in our world today, but that word servant is a bond slave. That's what it is. Amen. But he hasn't called us slaves. He's called us friends. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Friends, we need to be found faithful. Who is that faithful steward? It's the one, when he comes, he finds so doing. Goes back to the message this morning. We're faithful to the end. We finished our course with joy. And whether he calls us home or he comes to take us home, either way, we're found faithful. But what about the next, the wicked servant? Look at verse 45. There is the faithful steward. There's also the wicked servants. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord doth delay his coming, shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. There's the unbelieving servant. The unbelieving servant. Now, listen, friends, I don't try to pretend like I'm some kind of great theologian, but there's a few things that I understand. There are some people who take a parable like this and say, well, because he's a servant, he's obviously saved because he's a servant of the master. But can I just remind you that Judas Iscariot was a servant of the master? But he was not a believer. He never was. He was the betrayer from the beginning. And Satan came into him when he betrayed Christ. So don't try to carry things too far. It's a parable. And if you're having a hard time with it, I think the Lord clears it up pretty good. He's going to cut him in sunder and appoint him as a portion with the unbelievers. Everybody with me? Amen. Listen, not everybody that names the name of Christ is really his. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is a servant. But he says the Lord delays his coming and he begins to mistreat everyone. Listen, when you're a steward, you have no right over anything that's put under your charge but to care for it the way your master wants you to. But this was a wicked and unbelieving servant. I think it's interesting that the Lord's going to come at a time when you expect him not. When everybody cries peace and safety, then sudden destruction. I mentioned this morning that right now they're talking towards, and by the way, by the time it gets to the news, a lot of things have already happened behind closed doors. They're talking about a defense treaty between the United States and Israel, and by the way, I think that's fantastic. I want to be on Israel's side. Amen. This is a good place to be. But we know that there's going to be a peace treaty come in one day, not between the United States and Israel, but between Israel and other countries that hate Israel. We know that the world is going to look at that and go, man, we finally got peace in the Middle East, and it's going to be wonderful. But then sudden destruction is going to come. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, friends, we've got to be ready. We've got to be faithful. And we can't have in our heart the Lord's delaying his coming. And that heart says, I think I can get away with this before I get caught. That's not the heart that we need to have. John 6, verses 70 and 71 is where we see Judas Iscariot. He it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He was a servant of Christ, but he was an unbelieving servant. Then we have the unprepared servant. Look at verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. There's the unbelieving servant, then there's the unprepared servant. He knew his Lord's will, but he didn't prepare himself, and he didn't do what the Lord called him to do. Now, some of you think that it's an unthinkable thing that the master, the Lord, would beat his servant with many stripes, but can I draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We read this verse this morning. This is the good part, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Consider what he did for you so you don't quit. But are you with me? Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Listen, Jesus bled and died for you, but you haven't shed any blood for the cause of Christ. Now, those that he was writing to certainly would. And maybe one day you will. But right now, we haven't done that. Look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and, what's that word? Scourgeth. Scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, friends, I believe that God loves you enough to chasten you. Amen. I'm thankful. I wasn't at the time always, but I'm thankful that I had parents who loved me enough to chasten me. I'm disturbed by the trend that continues in our society today where children aren't chastened. Amen. They think that I hate my kids because I whoop them. Is that proper vernacular around here? Can I say whoop them? Because I use corporal punishment on my children. Amen. If I hated them, I wouldn't spank them. Amen. Because I love them, I do. Amen. Probably not nearly enough. But God loves you enough to whoop you. Amen. There's the unprepared servant, and then the unlearned servant. Verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. See, God's just. If you're just wicked and unbelieving, you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to get your portion with the unbelievers. If you're a believer, but you don't do what God says for you to do, he's going to bring justice to you accordingly. You're going to get the just recompense of the reward. You're going to get what you deserve. God's going to, what you sow, that will you also reap. That's going to happen. Okay? But there are some who just don't know any better. They've done wrong things. They haven't been faithful stewards, but they don't know any better. And they're still going to get punishment, but it won't be as severe. Now, I want you to listen to me because I believe this. I think we all fall into one of these categories. We are either a faithful steward who, when the Lord comes, he's going to find so doing. We're going to be doing the job that he left us to do. What is the job that we're supposed to be doing? I don't know that it's summed up any better in Scripture than the Great Commission. Amen. As a church, we're supposed to be going and making disciples and baptizing believers and teaching them to observe the all things that Christ commanded. We're to be busy about reaching this world with the gospel. We're to be busy about doing that through the process of evangelism, soul winning and discipleship. And when Jesus comes, he ought to find Calvary busy. Amen. Doing what he called us to do. Listen to me. He ought to find Calvary busy doing what God has called us to do. Amen. This is really important you understand this because he didn't just call some people to be faithful in evangelism. He called all of us to be faithful in evangelism. Amen. He didn't call some of us to do all of the work. He called all of us to do the work together. Amen. Friends, I just want you to understand from the bottom of my heart, I love you. I love you too much to not tell you the truth. There are too many churches in the world today that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people do 80% of the giving and 80% of the door knocking and 80% of the teaching. And listen, I'm telling you, it's not okay. God wants all of us to be busy, found faithful. And so we need to be faithful stewards. We're either faithful stewards, God help, but there may be some unbelieving servants in the church. There may be some that are unlearned servants in the church. But I just want to tell you, I think the greatest danger right here for our Sunday night crowd is the unprepared servant. Amen. See, I think most of you that are here have evidence that you're believers, that it's real. I mean, my goodness, why would you be here on a Sunday night if it wasn't real? Amen. You believe? Amen. Here's the other problem. Kind of catches you. You're the Sunday night crowd. That means that you're probably not very unlearned. You know what you ought to be doing. Which means we're without excuse. We know. I know how to preach the gospel to everybody I see. I know how to be faithful every time the doors are open. I know how to be faithful in reading my Bible every single day, and not because I have to, but because I love God's Word. Amen. I know how to do everything I can to help anybody in need. In the name of Jesus. See, we know our Lord's will, but are we preparing ourselves for His return? And are we doing according to His will? Come on, guys. Listen, isn't it that way with your kids and grandkids? Amen. Listen, when my kids do something stupid, sometimes they don't know any better. Now that bothers me, because that's on me. But sometimes they don't know any better. Son, why did you do that? Well, I didn't know. Okay? Well, don't ever do that again. Everybody with me? And maybe some punishment needs to happen, but you know, there's this place for ignorance. But let's be real, most of the times when you get on to your kids, it's not because they didn't know, it's because they knew and they did wrong anyway. Amen. And isn't it worse? Listen, you knew not to do that, and you did it anyway. And then the heavenly wrath is poured out.
Amen.
Please look at the end of verse 48. There's a principle here of requirement. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much. Required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we've been given more than we can begin to comprehend. I don't know that we understand just how much God has given us in this church age. To have the completed Word of God. To have the established church, the body of Christ. To be empowered with the Holy Spirit of God for the purpose of carrying out the commission that's given to us in this completed Word of God. We are so incredibly blessed that we don't even know. Amen. But God has given us so much, but you know what that means? Much is required. Have you ever known somebody who was just stupid talented? Like just ridiculously talented. And you don't want to covet, you know. You want to be happy for them, but you wouldn't mind having a little bit too. I mean, I've just known some people in my life that were just so talented. I mean, they were talented athletes, they were talented musicians, talented artists, talented whatever they did, they were just really good at it. Just gifted people. I know one man in particular, and he's very, very gifted, and he is, and I told him to his face, so you can forgive me for this, but I said, you are the biggest waste of talent I've ever seen in my life. I said it in love. Some of you looked awfully shocked that I said that to somebody, but I did. It was in love. We're still friends. I've never seen somebody, one person with so much talent who has just squandered it. And you know, that's easy for us, because when you see someone else with talents that you wish you had, you're like, how could you waste that? Man, if I had that talent, I would, right? Like all the guys that can dunk a basketball. Oh, man, if I could dunk a basketball, boy. Yeah, I never even tried, Brother Tom. Some of us, I got a little bit of realistic thinking in me. You know what the problem is? We're never looking with gratitude at what God's given us. We're always looking at what everybody else has and what everybody else could do with what God's given them. And we're forgetting what God's given us. We've been given much. And what that means is much is going to be required. You're not unlearned. Lord willing, God forbid that anybody here is unbelieving. You're unbelieving, you're not unlearned. But if we're not careful, we'll be found unprepared. And the only remedy for that is to be faithful today. Let's stand together. So musicians come and turn our hearts toward a time of invitation. I just pray that you look inside. Most of you have heard a lot of messages about Jesus coming again and how he could come at any time. I think I've been in a couple of services where we had rapture practice. You aren't familiar with that, but that's where everybody jumps at the same time. No intention to doing that tonight. You're welcome. But I don't want it to be lost on you that he really could come back tonight. I just want to ask you, are you ready? I don't mean, oh yeah, I know I'm saved. That's the first step. But I mean beyond that. When he comes, if he comes tonight, will he find you faithful? Will he find you so doing? Will he find you watching? Will he find you ready? Will he find you being a faithful steward? If the answer is no, I pray you get your heart right with Jesus right now. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to make whatever decision for Jesus. You just need to get your heart right and say, Lord, I haven't been living ready. I've not been watching. I've not been faithful. Help me to be faithful by your grace. If that's you, you come right now while we sing.
Page 573. 573.